Welcome back to Session 1. I'm John Majors. We're talking about your identity this weekend, who you really are. Now, do you remember this guy?
My name is Byron Strawn, and I work with Crew. I love laughing with my family. I especially appreciate quality bookbinding, and I really like driving my blue 2005 Honda Civic SI. Take two.
Okay, now obviously, Byron's identity is not caught up in those things. The car he drives, I mean, if it's in that car, that's pretty pathetic, you know. But it's more than that. His identity has to be rooted in something deeper than that. And you really need to pay attention to this, because this is the most important point we're going to make this weekend. We're going to keep coming back to this over and over again, because this is at the core of your identity.
So let's go back to thinking about the teenager I was talking to at church. She's a dancer. And let's just imagine that her ankle's shattered, or she breaks some bone in her leg and finds out that she'll never dance again. Well, then who is she? What is her identity? It wasn't being a dancer. But if her identity isn't really in being a dancer, but a Christian who dances, or one who's in Christ and dances, I think it's all the difference. So when I think about identity, I think my primary concern is that their identity is ultimately in Jesus Christ. And if you think about your identity being something other than Jesus Christ, then you have an identity that can be taken away, or that would disappear or be disappointing.
You know, when you think about that concept of your identity being rooted in Christ, being found in Christ, that can be just a little confusing sometimes. What does that mean? Might sound a little abstract. Well, we're going to talk about that a lot this weekend. In fact, we've got a whole session dedicated to that idea. But as I think about that idea, there's a verse in the Bible that keeps coming back to my mind. It's in Colossians chapter 3. And instead of me reading that verse to you right now, let me introduce you to someone who's put this to music for us. We've got a group called Seeds Family Worship, and they've written a number of different scripture memory songs specifically for Passport to Identity.
Boom. Ready. All right, here is take two for Hidden.
This is Jason Hauser. He's a professional singer and songwriter.
Okay, one more time. Here is take three for Hidden.
In fact, he's one of the main singers and songwriters with Seeds Family Worship. And his passion is to help people get to know the Bible.
I mean, one of the key things just about knowing God's Word is it gives us power in our spiritual lives. We meditate on His Word, and one way that we meditate is we memorize it, we internalize it. Psalms 1 talks about, you know, I meditate on Your Word, you know, day and night, and then my life will bear fruit. But it comes from knowing the Word of God. Just like every time I sit down to play an instrument, or every time I'm in the recording studio, you know, with great musicians, the first thing that I always do is they're tuning. They're constantly tuning to make sure they're in tune.
All right, you know, let's got to tune this thing up here.
And so as Christians, we tune ourselves to the Word of God.
All right, there we go.
And one way that we do that is we just have God's Word in us, and it's a part of just our everyday lives. God's wired us for music. You know, they say that the average person knows thousands of songs by the time they're 21. But we can use this, how we're wired, to put the right thing in our head and in our hearts, you know, through music.
The truth is, music does get stuck in your head. But that's what we want. We want God's Word deep in your mind so that you can meditate on it again and again and again. You know, back to Colossians 3 that I mentioned on the front end of this discussion with Jason Hauser. That's going to be our key theme verse for the entire weekend. And so we asked Jason to put that verse to music. And he wrote a song called Hidden.
And we just started talking about this verse. You know, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And the melody lifts. Set your minds on things that are above. So it's like, melodically, you're trying to lift, like we're trying to lift our spirits above the day-to-day and the temporal things and turn to the eternal things. For we have died, and then we feel like, well, this is the chorus. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And our true life and our true identity and our true hope and who we are, that's all in Christ. That's where our life is.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden, 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 hidden.
I want you to hear how the rest of this song turned out. So go ahead and turn in your journal to page 9, and we've got something there for you to work on while you listen to the song.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Oh, set your minds on things that are above.
Important what you set your mind on, because that's going to determine who you become. All right, so that's a big overview of identity, and we're going to keep coming at that from a bunch of different angles this weekend. But you know, in the process of developing your identity, you're also trying to figure out what it means to be your own person. When I was your age, I wanted my parents to just give me a little more freedom because I wanted my independence. So we're going to take the rest of this session to talk about independence, because there's a healthy way to go about independence. But if you go about it the wrong way, it can end badly.
Chris McCandless was found dead in the fall of 1992. And as his story spread, people were divided. Was Chris McCandless a hero, or was he just foolish?
This is my friend Hugh Duncan, and this is a true story.
Chris's body was found on the outskirts of Denali National Park in Alaska. Authorities retrieved his body and tried to put the pieces together. How did he get here? And this is what they found. About 5 months before he was found dead, Chris set out on a trail called the Stampede Trail, and he had very few supplies and hardly any camping gear. He crossed the Teknalika River and found an old bus that had been dragged out to that area. He set up camp in the bus and tried living off the land. But that didn't work very well. He was starving. He tried to get back across the river, but now it was summer and the river had risen and he was stuck. This story began to get a lot of attention when a book was published about Chris's life and his death. It was called Into the Wild. And then there was a feature film by the same name. His story resonated with a lot of people from around the country and around the world. They started coming to Alaska.
People had been visiting the bus, treating it as a kind of a shrine and making a pilgrimage out to it.
This is Sherry Simpson. She was working as a newspaper reporter when Chris died. She decided to check out this bus for herself.
And when we got there, we found a notebook filled with comments from, we counted it, was more than 200 people had visited the bus since he died and then wrote their impressions. And many of them were very sad. Many people saw him as a kind of a hero. One man said maybe even a prophet. So people were very struck by his story and saw it as an inspiration.
I think one thing that inspired fans about Chris was his sense of independence. All young people have to figure out how to gain independence from their parents and live on their own. And Chris definitely provided a picture of someone breaking free from his family to set out on new adventures. So let's go back a few years before Alaska, back to when Chris graduated from high school. He took off in his car to travel across the country. At first, he told his parents that he would call every 3 days to check in. And this was before everyone had cell phones. But his mom, Billy, remembers the day he said, "I can't do that anymore."
He says, I just had to hike back down the mountain to get to a phone to call you. He says, this is just taking too much of my energy. He says, I just can't promise that I can call you every 3 days. I'm out in the wild.
Chris took another meandering cross-country trip one summer during college, and then once he graduated from college, he left home for good, never to return again. In fact, his mom didn't even know where he was for a long time.
2.5 years.
And it can be helpful to be independent from the pressures other people put on you. Don't just assume you have to be just like everybody else when life is an adventure unfolding before you.
The thing about it as adventure is it's only an adventure if you live and come back. If you don't prepare for it, it's a tragedy.
While Chris became a romantic figure among a lot of young people around the world, most Alaskans took a quite different view.
Which was that he was no kind of hero or example, but perhaps a mixed up young man who had just gotten in over his head. He'd made some really fundamental mistakes in survival techniques in Alaska.
A lot of Chris's mistakes seemed to come from not being connected to a community. He didn't lean on the wisdom of others who had gone before him.
But he basically went into the Stampede Trail without a very good map.
And a map is just a record of what others have discovered before you. If Chris had taken a detailed map, he could have realized there really was a way across the river. And that's just one example of not leaning on the wisdom of others.
He didn't even really bother to talk to anyone who lived in the area. He didn't seem to have any sense of what he was getting into, or he overestimated his own abilities. It's just not clear. So by not asking questions of, you know, what we would call in another time our elders, it was almost irrecoverable from the very beginning.
Now, not everyone is going to set off for Alaska, but everyone does have to figure out, as I grow into adulthood, how do I live independently when the world is full of danger? Billy encourages the young people she sees to reach out to their community when they need help.
Get a friend or a teacher or another family member or maybe even their pastor and open their heart up to them.
It's a way of saying, I don't know everything in the world and I would like to learn from your experience.
So in the end, was Chris McCandless a hero or was he just foolish? I think Chris's story encourages us to take on life as an adventure. But as we walk through that adventure, we need to plan ahead by learning from the wisdom of those who are ahead of us on the journey.
What I find tragic about his story is that he didn't discover that till the end, when he left a note saying, you know, please help me get back. And, you know, that was a lesson that came too late for him.
I remember when I first heard Chris's story, and I thought it was fascinating, but I also found it troubling. And I wondered, what does this mean? What do I need to learn from this? What do I need to take away? Well, we want you to think about that too. We want the two of you to discuss some questions we have for you and try to unravel this story. Turn to page 11, pause the audio, and we'll see you back in a few minutes.